Well, so as you can see, Pastor Robert is away. He's teaching elsewhere this morning, so I have the great privilege of sharing the Word of God with you. And I'm so excited, want to just welcome you to Sunday service here at Calvary Tucson, those of you that are tuning in live stream as well. And you know, I'm really excited still. I just returned from Africa a couple of weeks ago, and you know, we were praying about a well to be drilled, and I brought a few pictures just to show you what it was like. Check this out. There it is. We prayed for it. We gave to it. There's the well head, and there's a tank up on top of a building. This is one of two. This is on the uphill side of the town called Kachinwa. And then another one right in the town, probably, a quarter mile away, gravity feed all the way down. They lined up for the water. It was so amazing. And they got brought all their jugs and stuff. And look at those faces. They were so excited about the water because water is so precious over there. And we also went over there and did VBS in the schools. There's Jody and Al sharing Bible stories, sharing their testimonies. And we did a soccer outreach as well and had a big tournament. And Al, being a soccer coach, was really teaching some of the guys some skills. There it is after the match. Eloise sharing the love of Christ with everyone. Pretty much the whole village came out and was amazing. And it was just an incredible time. Pastor Tony Jondro and myself did two pastors leaders conferences. This is one of them. 150 people here. So encouraging to encourage those in the Word of God as well. And I did a selfie, you know. I kind of stick out a little bit there, though. But look at those beautiful faces. It was such an amazing trip. And to God be the glory for that. Thank you so much for your prayers and your support. It was so amazing. Many salvation. It was just great to come alongside those that really have a hard life over there. And, you know, we've been going to Kenya, Africa for probably 10 years. You know, Will and Eloise Owen started that ministry. And this is my second trip there, and it was so amazing. And God is just even opening up the ministry more and more every time we come. So thank you so much for that. And also, we remember those that are in Rocky Point, Mexico. Even as we speak, they left Friday and are building a house for those that are less fortunate there. And I'm just reminded how privileged we are as Christians, as the love of God has been shown to us, how our purpose in life is really to bless other people, is it not? Bless other people, love them with the love of Jesus Christ, share the gospel with them, and I really think that's our purpose in life. We're saved for a reason, of course. God has rescued us from the power of sin and shown his love to each one of us, and as we have responded, you know, our life changes, doesn't it? And we just feel like we want to help other people and love other people as we share the Word of God with them. And so I'm excited. So two things stuck out to me while I was in Africa: prayer and purpose. Say that with me: prayer and purpose. So open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to talk about that this morning. And, you know, as a Christian, I'm identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember being a missionary myself, and by the way, I think we're all missionaries, that Jesus Christ was the ultimate missionary, leaving the presence of God, coming upon this earth, becoming a human being just like you and I, totally sinless though, and dying on a cross for our sins, rescuing us from the power of sin and darkness. And as we've responded to the love of Jesus Christ, you know, I just want to live for him. I don't know about you, but I do. Amen? He died for me. I want to live for him. So my life has purpose now. Before I became a Christian, I was just living for Jim. I had no purpose whatsoever. But as I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I realized that my life matters now. And the example that Jesus Christ is to me, I want to be to those that are around me. And so I'm so excited just to really look at being men and women of prayer and then understanding our role as Christians, that we have a purpose to fulfill. And whether we build houses or drill wells or teach the Bible as we share our faith with others, making disciples as we minister God's love and word, we are fulfilling God's purposes. And that makes me feel good. Like my life really means something. And I'm asking the Lord just to use my life for his purposes. And so we must be praying to that end. And so as we identify ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ, these two words stick out to me, prayer and purpose. And I want to be that person that prays a lot and praying for specific purposes of God that I might be used for his glory. And when I pray according to God's will, when we pray according to God's will, we know that his will be accomplished in our lives. And that gives us hope. It gives me excitement. So as we look at Colossians chapter 4, if you haven't turned there, Colossians 4, five verses stick out to me. We're going to read verses 2 through 6. As we read some very encouraging words and instruction from the Apostle Paul regarding prayer and purpose. Let's pray as we open up the Word of God and ask the Lord to speak to us. Father in heaven, thank you so much for providing this place for us, that we can gather together on a Sunday morning, Lord, and worship you and to praise you. And it just feels good, Lord, just to sing we love you. And we know that your presence is here. And so, Father, teach us your ways as we look at your word. And, Father, we remember the team in Rocky Point, Mexico right now as they're finishing up the house there. And, Lord, just watch over them that they might not smash their thumbs and stuff. Lord, keep them all safe. Get them here safely, Lord. We know that they're tired and they're going to be driving back. And so, Lord, bless them as they've gone there to purposely build a house and share your love. We lift up Pastor Robert to wherever he's at, that you would use him as you always do, Lord, and bless him. And our time together now, Lord. And so, Lord, we want to be receptive to all that you're going to speak to us. And so, God, here we are. Have your way in us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Paul writes to the church in Colossae. He didn't plant the church. Don't know if he's ever been there, but he hears from Epaphras who has visited him. And if you've ever read the book of Colossians, very encouraging book, full of instructions. And it's got a wealth of just godly principles in there. And we're going to get a little taste of that as well. But you remember Paul's situation. He's in prison. He's chained to a Roman guard. Why? Because he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's amazing to me that Paul, and I love his attitude as you read through the book and even these verses, that he's just all about the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what situation he finds himself. And so we pick it up in verse 2. Notice these encouraging words and these encouraging instructions that not only apply to the church at Colossae, but now here this morning to each of us. He says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that ought to make it manifest or known as I ought to speak. And then he says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside of the faith, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And so, do you notice the four things on how to pray right off in verse 2? What are they? Continually, earnestly, being vigilant or watchful as you pray, and being thankful. So these are how to pray. Sometimes we wonder, well, how should I pray? You know, we can pray specifically for things. But in general, I like these four ways that we can pray. The first one, we must never stop praying. Continue to pray, he says, not just like occasionally or when we feel like it or maybe when there's just a crisis in my life. No, we're encouraged here to pray how much? Continually, all the time. Praying without ceasing is God's command to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. And that simply means that we should be constantly in fellowship with God throughout our day. Just constantly talking to him. Now, Laura and I have been married for 34 years, and we talk a lot. Because we love each other, we talk a lot, right? And if we hang out with one another, you know, we have conversation. This is how we communicate. And so it's good to be talking a lot when you're married, especially for 34 years. You know, you get to know that person pretty well. But because we love each other, we have a conversation. Do you know that God loves us probably more than our spouse does? And I don't know about you, but I'm just reminded that I need to be praying all the time with the Lord. Now, I know that he knows everything that's going on in my life, everything that's going on in your life. But you know what? God loves our fellowship. We're created for his good pleasure. And so because I love God, I want to be talking to him all the time. Amen? Talk with God continually. We need to do that because we love him. And Greg Laurie tweeted this week. And he wrote, to pray at all times simply means to be conscious of the fact that God is with you wherever you go. Isn't that good? Like God, we know that. He's with us. And so you might as well talk to God as you go out throughout your day, right? As you go throughout your life, just always talking with God, praying without ceasing. You know that we can talk to God about anything and everything. Anything that you want, you can talk to about God, just like with our spouses or a close friend. You can share the deepest things that are going on in your life. And so we're encouraged this morning to pray without ceasing. Pray continually to the Lord. Second, I read that we're to be earnest about it. Like really excited to talk. I know some people are introverted, you know, they don't talk a whole lot or whatever, but you know, we need to be earnest about talking with the Lord. Steadfast is what that word means. Just to be devoted to it. Like really wanting to pray and ask the Lord and talk with him. And honestly, we need to be talking with the Lord. I need to pray. You need to pray. Not only do I want to pray, but I need to pray. And so I'm reminded that I continually pray to the Lord and then I'm eager about it. You know, sometimes we get together for prayer meetings or whatever, and we're pretty excited, you know. But day in and out, throughout the day, we want to be continually praying and be excited about it, earnest about it. Third, we read that it must be vigilant. Our prayers should be watchful. We're watching for things to be praying about, right? It means being awake and alert. I never want to fall asleep praying. Have you ever done that? Be all like tired at night and, oh Lord, I just thank you for getting me through this day and I'm asleep now. But you know what? I don't want to do that. I want to be conscious of the fact that, you know what? I'm praying to God Almighty. I'm talking to him and I want to be listening to him as well. And so I want to be watchful in my prayers, making sure that I'm not distracted by anything that would, you know, pull me away from my times of prayer. I want to be praying habitually as well. Being awake and alert. But look at looking for things in which we ought to be praying about. You ever think about that going through the day? How can I pray for that person? How can I pray for that situation? And just consciously thinking about how to pray. Being watchful in it. And so we're to be sensitive to what is happening around us. What is happening in the world today? How can I pray for this world that I live in? How can I pray for my country, for my neighborhood, for my church? Maybe things at work that you're aware of. You need to be praying about those things, being watchful and sensitive in those things. Praying for our family and our friends. Looking really even at our own personal lives and then praying accordingly. And so I love that. We're going to be praying continually, earnestly, vigilantly. You know, that's a military term, to be vigilant like that, is to, like a guard watching over his assigned post, making sure that he's aware of what's going on out there. And it's a way of protection as well. And so we're looking at our own lives. We're looking at the world in which we live in, and in church, our friends and our family. So we're watchful and we're sensitive to be praying according to the things that we're aware of. Martin Luther wrote this down in his journal. I have so much to do today that I must set apart more time than usual to pray. You know, sometimes we get busy lives from time to time. Guess what? The reminder is, I got to pray more. I got to pray more about that. And I love what Howard Taylor, son of J. Hudson Taylor, said about his dad. He said, and of course, Hudson Taylor was that missionary to China. These 40 years have not seen the sun rise in China without my father kneeling in prayer. I love that. What an example to his son that his son acknowledged that for 40 years the sun did not rise, that I didn't see my father kneeling in prayer. Prayer is so important. We know that. Fathers, be found praying. Let your children find you praying. Let your wives find you praying. Wives, let your husbands and your children find you praying. And our friends, that we would be sensitive to the things that God is showing us as we continue to pray, as we're earnest about it, and as we're watchful about it. It's good to be found praying. We have so much to be praying about. And then fourthly, we're to be thankful in it. Thanksgiving is an important ingredient, I think, in continual, earnest, and vigilant prayer. If all I do is ask and never thank God for his blessings and his intervention in my life, I think I'm selfish. What, I think God, just because I ask, he's just going to give me all these things? And again, we have so much to be thankful for, don't we? I mean, that will keep us in prayer a lot, continually, just thanking God for all the blessings that he is giving us. And so we're reminded, always thank God as we pray. Thank him for our salvation, for our spiritual growth, for this church, for the opportunity to serve, for eternity, you know, for being in the presence of God one day, and for and just thanking him, knowing that he's going to answer every single prayer of ours according to his purposes. And so we could go on and on as we just remember to be thankful for the Lord. And so there's how to pray, right? There's how to pray. Those four things stick out to me. And then we get to verse 3. Paul says, meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. I love how he's exhorting the Colossians to pray. And now he gets specific with them, and he's got a personal request now to pray also for us. And so I'm reminded that everyone needs prayer, even the Apostle Paul. And Timothy, of course. That's who the us is. Timothy is with him as he's writing this letter to those in Colossae. You know, sometimes we can be shy about asking other people to pray for us. Don't be. It's good to be praying for other people and situations, but you know, you need to be asking for prayer as well, right? I'm not ashamed to let people know that, hey, could you pray for me? I got a lot of prayer this morning because I'm a little nervous coming up here and sharing the word of God. And so prayer is so needed, right? And there's pastors and leaders that are here after every service to come and pray with you. And so take advantage of that. Here we see the example of Paul asking others to pray for him. And so the encouragement to us all is that, hey, you ask others to pray for you as well. And pray specifically as well. Our prayers should be personal for specific things and specific people. Because you know what? We want God to accomplish something. There's a purpose for our prayers. The two words, prayer and purpose. We got to pray for purpose. This is our second point, what to pray. And so the content of Paul's request here is that God may open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. And I love his attitude there. Our purpose as Christians is to speak about Jesus Christ. Are you guys okay with that? Do you realize that? And I'm reminded, I'm saved for a reason. I call myself a Christian. I'm so thankful to God that he saved my life from the penalty of my sin. And it's really good news. The gospel, that's what it means, good news. And I want to tell other people about it. Because, you know, somebody told me, well, in fact, a lot of people told me. I kind of brushed them off. I got saved at 24, but before then I was just like, no, that's good for you or whatever. No, I'm not interested, whatever, until the Lord, really through some crazy circumstances in my life, the Holy Spirit drawing me to him, I gave my life to the Lord, and my life's never been the same since. But I didn't know that. And somebody shared the word of God with me because they love the Lord. and they just have a heart to tell other people the good news. And so that's who we are as Christians. We have a purpose in this life that we might share the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? A door here means an opportunity or an intervention of God. So his desire is for an open door so that he could speak about the mystery of Christ. Something that's not known. It's a mystery. The mystery of Christ refers to the content of the gospel, of course. And so he's asking the Colossians to pray specifically that they would have an open door to speak the truth of the gospel, the good news of salvation that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. There's an unbelieving world out there that Jesus is a mystery to them. Oh, they might have heard about him, but they don't really know him. There's a lot of things said to him, but if they've never read the Word of God, they don't really know the truth about Jesus Christ, where he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. The truth about who he is, what he said, and what he did is the mystery. And like Paul, I believe that we need to reveal the mystery about Jesus Christ. Turn over to chapter 1 in Colossians right here. And Paul gives a great picture and truth about the mystery of Jesus Christ. Really explains it here as we pick it up in verse 13 in chapter 1 of Colossians here. Speaking about God here, he says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Talk about a change that has occurred. The power of darkness, that was me, not really knowing where I'm going. The darkness represents sin as well, and we know that the devil's really a part of that. The power of sin and darkness is so real to those that don't know the Lord. But I love how he's transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, speaking about Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood. You know, he died and shed his blood on that cross, the forgiveness of sins. Yes, you know how good it feels to be forgiven, right? It feels good. People need to know that. You need to be forgiven of your sins. Jesus paid that penalty. And then he describes him, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Who is our Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ. He rules, he reigns, he's above all of it, and the fullness of God has been placed upon him. And again, I'm so amazed at the mission of Jesus Christ to come here on this earth, become a human being, and die for us and save us from our sins. He goes on, and it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. That means make things right before God, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Do you have the peace of God in your life this morning? You know, when you are forgiven of your sin, you just have a peace that comes over, like, you know, no matter what, I'm good with God. Jesus Christ has reconciled my relationship with him, so whatever happens in my life, I have his peace. It's like no worries. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ. You know, everything changes when we give our lives to the Lord because of what Jesus Christ has done. Oh, and the reminder in verse 21, check this out. And you guys up there, all of us, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yep, that was me. Before I gave my life to Christ, yet now, I love that, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, and I love this, to present you what? Holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. That's how God sees us, set apart, holy, blameless. Nobody can blame me for anything. I've been forgiven. This is how God sees me in his sight, above reproach. Oh, there's a little responsibility, though, on our part. Look at verse 23. If, There's that choice word. If indeed you continue in the faith, never walk away from your faith. Jesus Christ has done so much for you. Don't ever walk away from his grace. You keep the faith, right? If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, very important, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. And I love that. There's the mystery of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done for anyone that will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. So we are to pray for open doors to share about Jesus Christ because he saves people from their sins. Oh, and then I'm reminded, by the way, verse 3 again in chapter 4, persecution is possible. It's possible because Paul says, for which I am also in chains. Remember, again, he's in prison and he's chained up to a Roman guard because of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The unbelieving world will not like it. The devil does not like it. And so, as a Christian, as we share about the mystery of Jesus Christ, we will endure persecution at times. It is possible. And we know that Paul suffered a lot of persecution. If you look around the world today, there's people, Christians, being persecuted just simply because they are Christians. But if that happens to us, we're not going to deny the Lord Jesus Christ, are we? We're going to continue to share Jesus no matter what. And I like how he does not ask for prison doors to be opened here, but that doors of ministry might be opened. And I love his attitude. He's accepting his situation and desires that the Lord would use him in the midst of it. And same with us. We may suffer persecution or hard times as a Christian, but we never stop praying for open doors to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you feel like you're chained at where you live or maybe where you're working, but remember to share Jesus because God has you there at this time. God allows things in our life. And even though it might be tough where you're living or where you work or whatever, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word of God is not chained. Paul might be chained to a Roman guard, but look at, he's writing this letter to the church in Colossae. We're reading it now, and God is speaking to us even through Paul's difficult life. You know, the gospel is never chained. Maybe you feel stuck in a financial situation with, you know, no freedom to buy certain things, but share Jesus with the little that you have, you know, whatever situation. It could be that you're limited by a physical condition and can't do the things that you used to, but we're to be content and do what you can, giving God the glory through it. And so whatever confining situations that we may face in this life as a Christian, we need to continue to be in prayer and to ask God to open them doors that we might share the gospel of Jesus Christ like Paul. And you know what? God's purpose will be accomplished in spite of our situations. You know that. So sometimes we can get really discouraged in a hard life or whatever's happened. But listen, God's still with you. He's still on the throne. You know, he's over all. He has the preeminence. And so he can even use us in difficult situations. Be encouraged with that this morning as well. And then verse 4, he says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to. And so they're praying for that open door to speak about Jesus Christ, that he would make him known as he ought to speak. And so he wants to reveal Jesus. Again, I love his heart. Paul's all about Jesus Christ. He recognizes that he ought to speak for him. And so Paul had people praying that he would speak as God wanted him to speak. And I'm reminded here that Christians ought to speak about Jesus Christ, right? There's no such thing as a quiet Christian, is there? Sometimes we might be intimidated to say something. Don't be. Man, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation for anyone who believes. Amen. Right? And I don't want to be like a closet Christian or quiet. I want everyone to know that Jim Arnold is a Christian. He's not ashamed about it. And so I'm encouraged with this. I ought to speak. We ought to speak about Jesus Christ. And we got to pray that way. Paul's asking that people would pray for him, that he would make Jesus Christ known as he ought to. And so that encourages me. The preaching of the word, you see, is a great privilege. And I also think it's a responsibility that we all have as Christians. So we pray for open doors to speak about Jesus Christ, to make him known as we ought to. And it's part of fulfilling the Great Commission, wherever we would go. Go into all the world. You know that there's not a place in this whole world that you cannot go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some places are dangerous and it's not allowed. But if the Lord calls us there, we're going to do that, you know, even in the midst of hard situations. Being a Christian, I never want to deny my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I remember Jesus said, if you will acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father, which is in heaven. I like that. I want to be acknowledged. The other part of that, if you deny me before men, I'm going to deny you before the Father, which is in heaven. I don't want to be denied. And so I'm encouraged, and I pray that all of us would be encouraged here this morning, that we would speak about Jesus Christ at school or at work, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, wherever the Lord would send us, that we would speak as we ought to. And remember that the fervent prayer of a righteous person will accomplish much. When we pray according to God's purposes, it's going to accomplish a lot. And because we pray, God will open a door, and so we can expect him to use us as we share the gospel. I'm going to give you a little bit of challenge. I've done this. And if we would pray like Paul for open doors, I want to challenge you tomorrow morning, right? We pray every morning, right? Like, don't leave home without it. You need prayer. We don't know what the day holds, man. We got to be like, God, I'm right with you. Thank you for your blessings. I want to be continually praying with you. I want to be earnest about it. I want to be watchful. I want to be thankful. But, excuse me, God, would you open a door for me today? So I'm going to challenge you, every one of us, this will be amazing, if you will just ask the Lord to send one person across your path that you might share Jesus Christ with. I call it divine appointments. And I guarantee you that at some point during the day tomorrow, if you pray that way, God will allow you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone, or to the mention of the name of Jesus, whatever. At work, at school, wherever you go. So I dare you, I double dare you, try it and see what happens. The Lord will allow you to share Jesus Christ. And so I love Paul's attitude here, and I want to keep having that attitude as well. You don't have to be an ordained preacher. You don't have to be an evangelist or a missionary, although I think we're all missionaries, right? You don't have to be these things to share God's word. Even in our daily conversations, we can drop the seed of the word of God into hearts. And then we pray that God will water that seed and bring forth fruit. Even if people don't believe the message, you know what? We gave the message. It's God's job to cause growth in people. It's the Holy Spirit who draws people to himself, right? All we are is the messengers. And so we pray like Paul, God, give me an open door to speak about Jesus Christ. And we should expect him to open that door, and he will. So the proclamation of the gospel is empowered by prayer. Remember that. It's empowered by prayer. And so as we pray, we realize that we have a purpose in life, and we want to purposely be that Christian witness in our generation. How do we do that? Well, look at verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders. God's wisdom, which is his word, all that you know about it, all that you know, you just walk towards the unbeliever. Now, this is hard to do sometimes, you know. Somebody came up to me last night and goes, man, you know, I would love to share the gospel, but I'm just intimidated about walking up to someone and just sharing, you know, the word. What do I say or whatever? And just share what you know about Jesus. Share about what God has done in your life. As you're praying for an open door, God's going to give it to you. And so we just got to step through that door of faith and walk towards that person. They might come walking towards you. That's okay as well. Excuse me. But you know, we should pray expectingly and know that God is going to give us an opportunity to share. And I love that. Walk towards unbelievers. You know, go up to somebody and share the love of Christ with them. It's really easy at work from time to time as you pray. You'll be amazed. And I know a lot of you know this, that, you know, a conversation just comes up, because you've prayed that the Lord would open a door for you to share the gospel. And then it says, redeeming the time. Whatever time is available, we're to use it. You know, in Kenya, we had 2 weeks to share the gospel and just love on the people over there. And we were reminded as a team, we may never see these people again. I don't even know if I'm going to be here next year, you know. I want to redeem the time that we have. Those people in Rocky Point, Mexico, building that house, they've only got 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, to accomplish God's purposes. And so I'm just reminded, whatever you have for me today, I want to redeem the time. And I'm reminded every day when that sun goes down, I just think this to myself, another day gone, never to return again. You know, we can never get yesterday back. We can't. So we need to take advantage and redeem the time that we have. I may have more time left on this earth than you, but maybe not. We don't know when the Lord's going to call us home, but in the meantime, we need to redeem the time that we have. To redeem the time means buying up that opportunity. It's realizing an opportunity when we see one and taking advantage of it, seizing the opportunity to win a soul for Jesus Christ. I know it can be intimidating, but now as we're praying that God would open the door, we just redeem that time and we take advantage of it. God has given us all a measure of time, every one of us, to use for His glory. And I think all of us are responsible to use the allotted time that God has given us for His purposes. And so we live for Jesus, we speak for Jesus, we walk and talk for the purposes of God. This is our purpose in life as Christians. And then we're reminded to be careful in how you speak to others. Finally, look at verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Let there's a choice. You can either have words of grace or not. So it's a choice on our part. You know, there's no place for things said that characterize a bad mouth from a Christian. Christians don't cuss, you know, right? Christians don't gossip and talk down or talk bad about somebody. We just don't do that. Let your words be words of grace, we're reminded here. It says, always be with grace. I'm like, you know, a lot of times, Lori's honest, she prays for me this way, put a guard over Jim's mouth. You know, sometimes it's true, I can just say things, I'm not talking about cussing or nothing, but I will say things that, excuse me, isn't really graceful or whatever. Put a guard over my mouth. I agree with her. And I think it's a reminder for all of us, you know, as we represent Jesus Christ on this earth, we want to have words of grace, don't we? We want to have words that build other people up. We want to share the gospel. So if we come without words of grace, do you think they're going to believe the Son of Grace? You know, when we're acting like we shouldn't act, or if we're saying things like we are not saved. And so I'm reminded, words of grace, very, very important. Whether undergoing even persecution or stress in our life, difficulties or maybe some injustice, whether with our spouse or our children, in our families, with believers or unbelievers, in all circumstances, always we are to make gracious speech a habit. To speak with grace means to let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Guard it. But only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear, as Ephesians 4:29 says. We're to give grace with our words. And then our speech should be seasoned with salt. I like salt. It makes the meal tasty, you know. We know that it was a preservative as well as a seasoner, you know. But our words not only should be gracious, but also really have an effect on others. And I'm trying to make the analogy there. You know, salt affects my meal. It makes it taste better. So my speech, as I talk with other people, should affect others around me. Our speech is then tasty, and it'll often encourage further dialogue to share Jesus with those that we're speaking to. And don't argue or be grumpy when you're sharing the gospel. That just doesn't match, you know? And we know, we also need to know how to answer each person, saying the right thing at the right time. Again, allowing the Lord to put upon our memories the Word of God as He would remind us of Scriptures, give us His wisdom and discernment as we walk towards those who are unbelievers. In Peter's words, He says, be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks of you, to give an answer for the hope that's in you. Listen with gentleness and reverence. So it's very important how we speak to others as we share the gospel. And so our talk and our walk must be in harmony with each other. You see, as they look at our lives as a Christian, hopefully we have words that speak as a Christian, not as the world does. And when our godly character and our conduct and our conversation are all working together, it makes really for a powerful witness in conversation as we pray to have an open door to share about Jesus. And so some very practical things here. And so in closing, some application points now. Are you ready? Number one, pray these four ways. Do you remember what they are? Continually, earnestly, vigilantly, and thankfully, right? This is how we pray. And we pray for open doors. What do we pray for? For open doors to speak of Jesus Christ and to make him known as we ought to. Again, we're responsible for our generation in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then number three, walking in wisdom, all that you know about God and his word, towards those that are outside of God's grace, speaking words of grace. And so may we be witnesses for God, redeeming the time that we have left, speaking with our non-believing family and friends about Jesus, who can save them from their sins. And so we want to take every opportunity that we have, redeeming that time to give an answer to everyone who asks us about the mystery of Jesus Christ, knowing that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody comes to the Father except through him. And so may this be our prayer and our purpose in life. Amen. Let's stand and close with a word of prayer.